This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yesterday, we did a six-pack of the best moves made by Mike Elias. Today, it's the six-pack of the worst. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
So yesterday, I had moving the wall back in as my six. Well, today, moving the wall out in the first place is my six. Like, it was a complete overreaction. And by the way, they never took advantage of it in the first place.
That's why
other teams came in here with left-handed pitching and took advantage of the wall, something the Orioles never did.
Yeah.
That's at six.
I've got it higher just because of that. This was an interesting exercise because yesterday I found the moves to be mostly granular, like single things he did that I really liked, except for, you know, the rebuilding of the international program. There's so much stuff I haven't liked that I had to clump stuff together.
I
had to go with like entire periods of time for some of these things, but I did want to have at least one individual move out here. And that's where I put the Kimbrel signing. You lose a stud freak show closer. You have all offseason to fill that hole. You know that you have nothing within to do it. You go and spend $14 million, which at that time for them, and even still now a year later with a billionaire owner, it still would be a huge signing for them. And you sign a guy who my immediate reaction is he won't be the closer by July the 4th, let alone the playoffs. And then people are telling me, well, it's in his kind, like he was promised that he would. I don't care what they promised him. He will flame out way before the playoffs. And then you're chasing Soto and Dominguez, and instead of getting bats and things to make your team better at the deadline, he's trying to get fringe closers to make his falling apart bullpen better because he finally bit the bullet and got rid of Kimbrel. I put it at six.
Number five.
Oh, and Adley over Bobby Witt Jr. came real close to being the six. Came real close. Like it's firmly in others receiving votes. Five is where I put they still have not done a UFA deal over 1 year left.
Oh, I've got that higher.
Like, and I put it here because I don't think that's the end-all and be-all for this team. I don't think it should be the end-all be-all in baseball for most teams. And I still understand billionaire Magna Carta or not, like that they want to be drafted and developed. But the fact that the guy's been here 6 years and he hasn't found a single person available from any other organization on the open market, leaving that team to come here who was worthy of a true guarantee in year two, boggles my bleeping mind.
By the way, I do want to point out in defense of David Rubenstein, he only paid the Magna Carta once. It was a 1 year deal for 22. Well, he got it forever, but he didn't pay him yearly. But alas, I do.
How
have
much
that.
Was deferred?
Yeah. I do have that as part of something else a little later. But my five is something we spent a lot of time in real time talking about. They're too deliberate with their big time prospects, and we saw Grayson Rodriguez get hurt and miss an opportunity to get to the majors a year before he was supposed to. We saw Kobe Mayo get hurt and didn't get up here as soon as he was supposed to because they get hurt. And like the way they dealt with Jackson Holliday was weird. The way they've dealt with basically all of their premium prospects has been bizarre.
Number four.
Like you, Jason, I did lump some things together, but I put this one by itself because We didn't know it then, but it was a sign of things to come. And it was really their first trade as a buyer. It was trading Daryl Hernandez for Cole Irvin. And while, like, on the surface, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you could have packaged Hernandez with something else to get something better. And it was a pattern of trying to get a guy with fringe stuff to be something more than here. And Daryl Hernandez, I don't know if he's ever going to become a great Major League Baseball player, but he was a big-time prospect at the time. And that trade just seems like a big at the end of the day.
Well, it's a corollary to my four, which is jerking around the wall. If you move the wall, then you start chasing lefties, but you don't want to go get real lefties, and you really haven't, besides Bradish, developed a pitcher yourself. So you lead to thinking you're smarter than you are, and it leads to things like the Cole Irvin trade, which they then doubled down on 2 years later and got Cole Irvin Jr. and Rogers, and they gave up even better players for him. But to move the wall and then have it turn your home field into a disadvantage for the way your team is constructed and an actual advantage for teams that had better rosters that said, hey, even a fringe lefty like Andrew Heaney against that bunch of 21-year-old kids over there in the playoffs with that wall behind him will probably be pretty effective. Jordan Montgomery will probably look like Randy Johnson against these guys from the left side playing in that ballpark. To have other teams, when the game's really managed, stack the deck both offensively and defensively to use that wall against you is just chef's kiss. And then for you to move it around like it's Lego bricks 3 years later. Oh, we were wrong. Our bad.
Build a park.
It's pathetic. It should be beneath them, but it's them.
Yeah, I got to lean to Jason for the wall being higher. The Rangers playoff series alone is why it should be higher. The fact that Bochy used it against them and the Orioles. You had those numbers a while ago, Jason. The amount of innings pitched by left-handed starters during the time of the wall, it was nothing. And if you would have told me opening day when we were at Rubenstein's press conference that on February 6, 2025, that we still have not given out a true multi-year contract because the O'Neal with the opt-out. I'm saying a true multi-year contract. I would have said you were crazy.
Six-pack, worst moves made by this general manager, Mike Elias. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
Three is where I had to put the 2023 deadline, which I told you guys in real time was horrible, was guys who aren't as smart as they think they are trying to prove they're smart. You know, Flaherty with the bad back and having built-in excuses, whatever the Fuji thing was, not addressing any of their primary needs, waiting till the last minute to make those trades. And just it being about vanity moves and not actually trying to take a good team and make it great. And that team was great for a part of the year. It was another sign of what was to come. It revealed even more just the hubris that runs wild and runs amok in that warehouse. And it was a disaster.
My three is where I have no extensions or long-term deals given out at all. It's mind-boggling to me. And I know it's not the end-all be-all, but it's a lot. Like, no long-term commitments to anyone. Nobody that's come through the organization. Nobody that's from outside the organization. Like, this isn't a league where everybody starts over every year. You need to commit to someone at some point. And the fact that they seem to want to do it year to year and we'll just bring guys up and we got their clocks at 6 years or whatever, it's never worked before. I just don't see it working.
Number two.
Number two is where I have the 2023 trade deadline, and Fuji and the General was something fantastic, wasn't it? Like, they went and got a guy who threw really hard but couldn't find the plate to go to their bullpen, and then he wasn't part of their postseason roster because he was no good. And then they went and got the worst starter available from the Cardinals, even though Jason and I in real time were begging for Jordan Montgomery. It made no sense to me. The General was
he ended up in the bullpen. They're playing Tampa in meaningful games down the stretch for fighting for playoff space, and he's in the bullpen.
And he was in the bullpen of the playoff roster, only to say, in my opinion, to save face because he was so bad.
Yes.
He shouldn't have been on the postseason roster either. But you couldn't come away showing nothing from your trade deadline. So 2023 is my two.
My two is basically his three, but it's a combo platter. It's the fact they have not put a single penny into keeping any of their young talent here beyond their arbitration years, coupled with the fact they sold high on nobody. They didn't trade Austin Hayes for anything. They haven't traded Mountcastle for anything. They didn't trade Cedric Mullins for anything. They didn't turn Santander into anything but a comp pick. It's that double-edged sword that is just... it's chef's kiss. I mean, it's utter lunacy to think you've got a way to run a baseball team that shrugs at the way anybody's ever done it, and you've accomplished nothing in your career, but you're smarter than the market at everything. Okay.
Number one.
Number one is last year's trade deadline. Well, I tried to tell you, Mooks, it's happening again. It will happen again. This is what they believe in, being smart and being right, not helping your team be better in October. And boy, if they didn't double down on stupidity.
Yeah, the chickens came home to roost. Like, as much as I want to give them credit for Zach Eflin, everything else was an abject failure. You know, Austin Slater, Eloy Jimenez, chasing after the failed Phillies closers. It was quantity over quality, and obviously didn't help.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
Yeah, similar top three, but not selling high on guys. I mean, the Norby trade, of course, is the top of the list, but you just wonder, Kobe Mayo is going to head back to AAA as things are currently constructed. So his value is going to go down.
Bone, they keep signing these guys. He might be a double A. Yeah, there might not be room for him enough. Or we got Vavra. We got Carlson. We got Daz Cameron. We got Vavra. He might be a double A.
Got a lot of
I'm
dudes.
Being facetious. Yes.
And Kerstad, another guy where that should have happened a couple years ago if you were going to. Like, talk to Jacob Calvin-Meyer about that.
Coming up next, Adley Rutschman. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday. He is 27. What are our expectations from Adley this season? We'll tell you next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on The Fan. Happy birthday, Adley Rutschman. He turns 27 today. He's entering his fourth season in the major leagues, coming off a brutal second half, a season where the numbers overall aren't terrible, but he was on his way looking like he'd be an MVP candidate, and then it all fell apart, finishing with 19 homers, 79 RBIs, and a .250 batting average, only a .318 on base. So with that said, what are our expectations for Adley Rutschman this season?
Well, I think he needs to get back to a modicum of consistency. He needs to be someone who's available and a voice of this team, whether things are going good or things are going bad. He needs to get out of the shower in time to talk to the media. When it's time to do that, he needs to be far more consistent and better behind the plate. He needs to have spent an offseason trying to build up his arm so that people not only aren't taking second base all the time, but getting third with way too much regularity also. So I want to see a true above average. I'm not even saying he's got to be great. Like, my expectations for him are probably not like a lot of people's. I want to see him be above average in the run game, above average with his framing, above average with his blocking. I want to see him be able to catch more than, you know, 100 games this year. Like, if you took him 1-1 and he's 27 now, not a spring chicken for a catcher, and he's in his prime, then you need to use him like he's in his prime. He's never caught more than 97 complete games in a season. Like, if you think his bat needs to be in there all the time and, you know, he didn't hit enough in the second half to justify being a DH, then, like, he shouldn't have less complete games caught this year than JT Realmuto, who's 33 years old and caught more complete games than him pretty much every year of his career. So he needs to be available more and catching at a higher level. And then the hitting part of it, like, I'm just back to basics. Like, this cat had a .318 on-base percentage last year. That's miserable. That can't happen. You know, .374 the year before that, I don't know. I'm not even aiming that high. Can he get on base more than 35% of the time? You know he'll hit some doubles. You know he'll hit some home runs. But I just want to see him at least have a .350 on-base percentage. I want to see him be able to catch, you know, 115, 120 games at a legitimate above-average level. And I want him to be someone who doesn't go 2-3 weeks without giving his thoughts, even if they end up being very sort of milquetoast thoughts, on what's going on with the baseball team. Because when he's 1-1 and they trump the leadership above even his baseball qualities, then there's an outward responsibility that comes with that as well, that I'd like to see him, someone make that him aware of that.
I expect him to bounce back. I expected him from the end of last year to be busting his ass, to be in the best shape that he could possibly be in heading into spring training. I expect him to hit a heck of a lot better than he's hit when he catches. And we've seen that decline over the past year and a half, where a .650 OPS in 102 games in which he catches, that can't happen. You mentioned the on-base percentage. He was so out of whack in the second half, swinging off one knee, dropping his shoulder. All of his mechanics were so out of whack, he has to get back to the basics there and not be as aggressive and not press as much as he did last year. And the defensive aspect, it has to get better. That part might be the most concerning for me, guys, considering that his defense has regressed each year that he's been in the bigs. He's got to find a way to reverse that trend.
Well, the scouts said that when he was in his last year at Oregon State, he was good enough to be a major league catcher right then and there. And he's not that guy anymore. I don't know what happened.
Well, he's good enough to be a major league catcher, but I mean, he's quality. Supposed to be best of breed.
No, I'm saying quality major league defense. Like, he could be that dude defensively now, is what they were saying. And that's, we didn't see that a year ago, and it's been trending in that direction for a long time. As far as offensively, at the minimum, I want to see 2023. I want to see close to 100 walks. I want to see 20 homers. I want to see 80 RBIs. I want to see a .370 on base. Like, we talked to Jim Duquette right after the offseason, and he kind of hinted that he was in bad shape. And then the floodgates opened with people talking about Adley being in bad shape. And hopefully he's doing more than wall sits doing commercials, because he needs to get himself in better shape.
We do have a poll on this. I know we have Gene Wong coming up.
Yeah. Obviously, we love doing polls. IA1057 The Fan is where you can find said poll.
Yes, if my Twitter can load. Here we go. It is Adley turns 27 today, coming off a lost second half of 2024 when production plummeted at the plate and behind the plate and during his conditioning was called into question. So, Orioles fans, how confident is Birdland that the former first overall pick will fully rebound? Over 200 votes in. IA1057 The Fan is how you can vote on this poll. Every poll, 41.9% totally confident, 36.2% kind of confident, 21.9% not confident at all.
Interesting. It's people are confident. He was terrible the second half of last year. There's really no way to explain it other than that. You can't make any excuses. He was bad, and yet they continued to bat him second or fifth. So that was fun. Meanwhile, Cedric did start hitting down the stretch, and he was in the bottom third of the lineup.
Oh, Cedric hit from about June on.
Coming up next, Terps. Big one tonight at Ohio State. Can they keep the winning streak going, make it five? Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post. He joins us next. Terps take on Ohio State tonight at 7. Pregame coverage begins at 6 here on the Fan. Terps are going for their fifth win in a row. And we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline now. Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post, and he joins us now. And Gene, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate it. As I said, going for 5 in a row, and I think that would be 7 of 8, but all for over a week. Any concern about the layoff heading into tonight?
I would say that the break came at a good time for them. They, were on a heater at the end of last month, so kind of calm things down and get ready for the stretch run. And if you want to play a road game, they're so tough to win in the Big Ten. You can have coming off a break. That's probably something Maryland like to have to kind of get reset. But another chance for a quadrant one win. On the road, they struck Ohio State in the first meeting. They beat them by 25 points. So I'm sure Ohio State's going to be, geared up for a little revenge at home. But, Maryland's rested, and that's what you want to be at this time of the year for the push to March.
Well, how much more difficult do you think that the challenge will be, Gene? We had Jacoby Gillespie on the show a couple of days ago, and he basically said, the coaches have warned us repeatedly, we might be walking into a bit of a hornet's nest here when we were up, 50-17 on them at our place 6 weeks ago exactly. Or whatever it was. And Ohio State's seemingly playing better ball since then. So how do you size this one up?
Yeah, I mean, Maryland, I think, is on a neutral court the better team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you're playing at home and you have the motivation to come up a huge loss, Ohio State's going to be, they're going to be geared up. They're going to be, out to start fast. Kevin Wills told his team, look, they're going to try to come out and blitz us right away and kind of give us a taste of our own medicine. Maryland's got to come out defensively. I think the most important is, you can't control necessarily if a shot's going to fall, but you can control how hard you play defense. Mm-hmm. And that's what, that's what Kevin keeps repeating all the time, May not be hitting the threes early, but you can stay in the game by playing defense. And, they're a 10-pom top 20 in offense and defensive efficiency. So, we know they can do that on the defensive end, defensive side of the ball. That's where it needs to start for them, especially in the early going.
Gene, you mentioned this week layoff coming at a good time. Well, last game that we saw the Terps play, Jacoby Gillespie was sitting out for a little bit, had a heating pad on his knee. Is there any concern with Gillespie with that?
No, not at least not from what I've been told. That's another reason why the break was good. They hadn't played in a week, basically, and getting rest is so, so important because, as we know, March is right around the corner, and, the Big Ten is so rugged. But they do have 4 out of 6 games at home. It'd be great to get one on the road, but, you look at them in the net, they're 15. They're basically not playing for seeding in the NCAA tournament, whether they're a 5 or maybe they can rise as high as a 4. If they get some more quality wins, there's certainly a lot of opportunities as far as quadrant one games go the rest of the way.
We're talking with Gene Wong. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Gene, I want to ask you about the conference as a whole, because when Maryland played UCLA, they were a dumpster fire. Now all of a sudden they're 8-4. they're looking like a team that's trying to fight for a double bye. Michigan State was unbeatable. Now they've lost 2 in a row. What do you think of this conference?
They're probably going to get, you can make an argument they can get 8 to 10 teams in the tournament. The only conference that's going to get more is the SEC, okay? So, every night, even Maryland, they played Washington. That was their only win at the time in the conference. They went to Northwestern, went to overtime and lost. Northwestern's playing better, even though their record doesn't necessarily show it. So every night is going to be a test. Certainly tonight will be one. But, Maryland, it controls their own path to a double bye because they have tiebreakers over every team that's kind of clustered around them besides for Oregon. They've beaten Illinois, they've beaten Indiana. They've beaten Ohio State already. If they obviously win tonight, they sweep the series. So, they control their own path, and that's all they're going to ask for going into February.
You've been around that program for a while. Juju's been around that program for a while. If I told you that not only is he going to execute shooting free throws at a higher level, but like he's going to look extremely confident doing it, right? Going from a young man who looked kind of surprised when he made one to one, I think, who's now going to be visibly pissed if he misses two in a row.
22 of 23, like, his last.
Did you see that one coming?
I know he worked really, really hard in the offseason on his free throw shooting. That was his number one thing. To get better, because, you know, he's going to draw a lot of fouls. That's how, the way he plays. He plays back to the rim, you know, in the low post. There's going to be a lot of contact. The Big Ten is, you know, we certainly know how physical the conference is, probably the most physical conference in the country. So he knows that he's going to have to be able to make free throws to contribute more to this team. And he's a senior. He's kind of a unicorn in this age of basketball, right? A four-year starter, you know, staying at one place the whole time, and has contributed a heck of a lot to building this program. And Kevin Wood will tell you, like, he's the leader unquestionably in the locker room and on the floor, especially with all the new faces. He's kind of the stabilizing force that kind of calms everyone down. He just is so steady. He's like a walking double-double. But the free throws was really a point of emphasis for him in the offseason, and it's obviously showing on the court this season.
Gene, speaking of leadership, and I'll speak for all of us here, Kevin Willard was on with Vinny and Haney yesterday and was gushing about Deshaun Harris-Smith and how he's a leader and he's going to have an outstanding career here. This was someone who was a starter last year, starter at the beginning of this year before, you know, being that guy off the bench. What type of impact have you seen out of DHS his sophomore year?
Well, you can't say enough good things about him. I mean, it's not easy going from a starter to now coming off the bench, but he's accepted that role. He's embraced it. You know, he had a huge three against Wisconsin. You know, he had made, what, five all year, four all year, but it's a huge one to kind of get Maryland more separation in that game. But he's also a quiet leader. I mean, when you're a starter and you're used to playing starter's minutes and you kind of have to adjust your role, it's not easy to do, but he has done it. To me, if you ask Kevin Willard, you know, the bench, it's not a strength in terms of scoring, but what DHS gives you is leadership. He's steady, just like Juju. He's steady, and players respect him in the locker room because they understand when you go from a starter to a bench guy that takes, you know, you kind of, your ego may take a hit, but he has not let it show on the court and certainly well-respected in the locker room.
Gene, we'll finish here, and I think we spoke to you before the Indiana game, and you were kind of bullish on Maryland's prospects in the tournament before that. I saw Joe Lunardi, if they win tonight, he'd have them on the five line. So have you become even more bullish? Are you about the same? Where are you on Maryland and their tournament prospects right now?
I think I said this to you guys before when I was on with you last. They can beat you in so many ways. They can, if you want to play a high-scoring game in the 80s, they can win that way. If you want to keep it in the 60s, they can win that way too. They can beat you from the inside, obviously with Derek Queen and Juju, and they can shoot three-pointers. All the transfers, that's what Kevin Willard targeted after last season when they were shooting, what, 28% from three-point range, one of the worst teams in the country. You know, now this year they're shooting at about a 37% clip. So, yeah, I mean, there are so many ways that they can win. Defense is obviously number one for them, but they can score in the 80s if they have to. So I think they could be a dangerous team.
Gene Wong covers the turf for the Washington Post. Gene, always great. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the basketball.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
We'll come back, get the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for turf pregame. The pregame starts at 6 with Mike Popovic. Tips at 7 right here on 105.7 The Fan. Before we get to the text of the day, Terps at Ohio State tonight at 7. And I got to be honest, I was thinking about this earlier today. This is the kind of spot where Terp teams pass, lose. Can they get over the hump? I do. Beltway Ben, you are our resident Terp guy. Can the Terps go into Columbus and win this game?
And he wasn't with us with Wisconsin, but he told us that he was really confident.
Yes.
Right? Heading into that game, and he nailed that one.
I don't feel so good about this one. I'll just be honest. I mean, you come in as 2.5-point underdogs. Ohio State's a top 25 team in the country shooting the three. You heard Willard talk about it earlier. Bruce Thornton is an extremely good scorer, and he's efficient. Can shoot the three. Can get inside. The difference for the Terps, honestly, will be if they can get Juju and Queen going. Ohio State's undersized. They're dealing with some injuries, illness, whatever you want to call it. So I think, you know, They're going to have to work the ball inside. You're going to need Julian Reese to take this game over. And we've seen the maturity. You heard Gene talk about it. I think tonight's going to have to be a big-time Julian Reese night.
Interesting, Jason.
It's hard to sweep a team in the Big Ten. It's going to be weird not having played basketball for that long at this time of year. I wonder if that ends up helping them more sort of moving forward than maybe in this game, especially the first half of this game against such a motivated opponent. But, like, I don't, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they won the game. I don't think they're going to win the game. I'm not on this game at all. I think it might be an over game, if anything. And I think it'll be, if they're in this game at halftime, then I who knows?
We know you're on the CAA slate, though.
Oh.
Come on, it's a big night. What do you got?
My favorite play in the CAA?
Come on.
Is just take the Campbell Camels on the money line.
Camels.
I'm riding big Camel with the Camels. Best defense in the CAA.
One
humper two. The three ball really well right now. Elon hasn't been on the road in 3 weeks. This is Elon's first time on the road in 3 weeks. Four straight at home.
Yeah. You know what they say about Elon.
Campbell's
on the road.
8-2. Do I have any notes in front of me, by the way?
Here? Zero. No.
Campbell's 8-2 in the CAA.
I'm fascinated by your fetish.
Elon's 5-5.
But the Tigers.
Elon hasn't really played anybody. They only played one of the elite teams. I like Towson. I don't love it. If you can get it at 7.5, they're at Stony Brook. Stony Brook played them tough here. My favorite play is Campbell in the CAA tonight. And then UNC Wilmington, which I've seen actually come down to 4.5. UNC Wilmington at Delaware. I like the Seahawks. Seahawks have been very good to me this year.
For those who don't know, the Seahawks are
UNC Wilmington.
Okay, yeah. The people, CAA, they might not know. I just want them to know.
That's my favorite CAA place tonight.
Yeah, man. You'll have them every week.
He nails them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's Mr.
He's on
CAA.
Fire in the CAA.
Doing all right.
Yeah.
He's doing all right.
CAA.
Ben, do you concur?
I bet CAA. I don't have anything in the CAA tonight.
All right. Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check.
Text of the Day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive. Driven by OarsmanCars.com, your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the Day comes from Till in Baltimore, who says, when Rutschman was drafted out of college, Baseball America said he had an average arm, but he also hasn't showed the home run power that he was supposed to have.
I am firmly convinced this is
There's only one Till.
Yeah. Because he does text.
The thing for me is he doesn't have a gun like Basayo, but his pop times are good. His accuracy's a little off, and people just don't fear him.
Yeah.
And now look, is part of that this pitching staff hasn't been very good holding runners, but that also doesn't seem to be something that they care about as an organization.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be something that they emphasize or put a lot of effort into.
Isn't it interesting, as an aside, that the two guys, they went out. The two big moves they made last offseason to bring him from outside were maybe the two worst at holding runners.
They
one
don't
in all
care organizationally.
Kimbrel and Burns.
But it's also making their glory boy look kind of bad back there when McCann throwing more people out at second base at the end of his career than Adley is in his prime.
Burns would just throw over three times.
Yeah how about that? Go, that was fun.
Just take it.
Or he'll just throw it down by the tarp down the right field line like he started doing in spring training.
Yeah, that was
that
fun.
Happens from time to time.
Yeah. Bone, what do we got on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we got Ariel Epstein. We got Jimmy Patzos
Sunshine.
In studio.
Hopefully, Jimmy, if you're listening, can we get Frankie the Wonder Pup, please?
And hopefully recapping a Terps win.
There you go.
And
a Towson win.
Yeah.
And Austin Hayes will be joining us as well.
Former Orioles.
Yes, spicy.
Current
Hayes.
Red. Former Philly. Current Red. Austin Hayes. Hey, Maryland basketball is coming up next. Mike Popovic with the pregame coverage at 6. And then Johnny Holiday, Chris Nocke, they'll be on the call right here at 105.7 The Fan at 7 here on The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.